But we've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about worship. We've been some about spiritual warfare over the last few months. And spiritual warfare is an area where, to be honest, the Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about it. But it does say enough to say that we are in a big war, a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And the battle is over souls of men and women and children around the world. And that war is getting more and more fierce today. And we need to begin to start thinking in terms that we are living in a time of war. I know in some ways it looks like a very peaceful time, in some ways, but there is a war going on. And every significant move for the kingdom of God is going to be met with spiritual resistance from the kingdom of darkness. Phil and Sasha preparing to go to Russia. Do you think the kingdom of darkness wants that to happen? No way. And they're going to be resisted. And that's why we need to pray for workers, not just here in the United States or Israel or France or Mexico, Russia. Whenever you hear about someone who is doing the work of God or planning the work of God, we need to be praying for them. And why is there such resistance? Or maybe I should put it this way. Why is there more resistance today than there was even 10 or 15 years ago? Because so much is happening. We very well could be at the beginning of the great harvest that's spoken about in the scriptures. When God is going to bring revival around the world. And he's in millions and millions, probably, you know, hundreds of millions of people are going to be swept into the kingdom of God. And Satan and the kingdom of darkness knows that when that happens, that is the signal that his time is almost up. And so there's a lot going on in this world. Read the newspapers. I know it's almost like we constantly hear bad news and it's easy to tune it out. But in light of everything that's happening in the world, can we be surprised? Are we really surprised that there's such resistance? There really is. So the question I want to talk about today is, how do we fight? You know, how do we, especially on a day-by-day basis, how do we fight for the advancing of the kingdom of God? Because it's so easy to get tired, to get worn down, to get discouraged. How do we continue moving forward? And I want to share a few thoughts, and then I want to kind of share a little bit about what is happening even in France today with what we're kind of working on in the next couple of weeks, and just show you there's a lot of resistance going on. And then I want to take some time to pray. There's three things I think we need to keep in mind if we're going to be warriors that are going to stand up against the kingdom of darkness. The first one, we have to know, not just up here, but down here, we have to know who we are in Christ. Now, without Christ, who are we? Nothing. We're nothing in ourselves, right? We do not deserve his grace. We don't deserve his mercy. We certainly don't deserve his great salvation. But because of his mercy and grace, even though we don't deserve it, he saved us. He brought us into his kingdom, you know? And it's a kingdom that's been talked about for thousands of years through the prophets in the Old Testament. There's going to be a time when there's going to be a kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom made up of people from all countries of the world, all nations. And this kingdom is going to be eternal, everlasting. That means it never, never, never ends. It goes, it starts in some form here in this age, but it goes on into the ages to come. So not only did we, even though we didn't deserve even to be, to even have his mercy, he saved us and he put us into this eternal kingdom. And not only that, but he placed us into the heart of his eternal purposes. Ephesians 3 talks about the eternal purposes of God. So God has placed us, even though we didn't deserve anything, into his eternal purposes. And so he has designed where we're supposed to be living. For most of us, except for Phil and Sasha, we live here in Summit County. He arranged that. In fact, even he arranged all these details even before the foundation of the world, because he wanted us to be a part. So, and he knew that we were going to have a mission. We're going to be joining others into some type of a mission. He knew the generation that we were going to be born into. He knew that, wow, you know, that Eduardo, he's going to be born into a generation. It's going to be one of the toughest generations that the history of this world has ever known, but also one of the most exciting. But God chose Eduardo. God chose Ruth and Andrea and every one of us to be in this, to be alive at this particular time. You know, he chose, we've already talked about the place that we live, everything. I mean, we weren't just an afterthought. We were no accident. He knew about us before the foundation of the world began. And he has created us, it says, for good works for the time that we would be born. Okay. He's also equipped us, it says, with every good work. He's given us things like prayer. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the gifts of the Spirit. He's given us the Scriptures. He's given us, I mean, he's just given us everything to equip us for the purpose that he's created us for. And that's amazing. We should be in awe of that. Like, Lord, I don't deserve anything, and you've put me into all this. And so he's also in Romans 8, he says that he's called us to be more than conquerors, más que vencedores. We sing a song about that. You know, in other words, we're not to be here being beat up by the kingdom of darkness. We need to know who we are in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 18. I'll just turn right here. It's coming up here real quick. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Why? So that we would know what is the hope of his calling, that we would know what our calling's about, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. May God open our eyes to who we are and what we've been given. This is so important. Why is it important? Because the enemy is going to suggest to us, actually, that's not even strong enough, he's going to accuse us that we are worthless, we are failures, we'll never make it, we can't really do anything, we're going to mess things up. You just better, you know, you're getting too excited about the Lord and all the stuff that he's calling you to, because you know what, you're going to mess it up. You know that. He's going to say that we're not the right person. And every one of us have heard the enemy say things like that. Is that correct? You know, he tries to beat us up. And that's why we need to know. No, I know who I am in Christ. I know it because God's word says it. It's not because I feel like it at times. We cannot go on feelings. Feelings go up. Feelings go down. And we all know that. Second thing, we have to walk in faith. We've got to move in faith in the things that God's called us. How can we do that? We can move in faith because we know down here that God has called us. He's equipped us. He's going to protect us. He's going to guide us. And he's determined that his purposes will be established. And armed with all that, we can march forward in the things of God. We do not let circumstances shake our determination to move forward in what God's called us. Hebrews 11:6. I like the way it kind of says it. It's, at the beginning it says, and without faith it is hard to please him. No, what does it say? It is impossible to please him. Faith is necessary. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. I like these verses. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. Sometimes we think, does God even really care? And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And next verse here, verse 12, coming up. So that you will not become sluggish. You know, like, oh, the things of God, it just seems like I just can't keep going on. Because it says, instead, we're to be imitators of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. And then he goes on later in Hebrews, talks about all these people who are just ordinary people, but they inherited the promises. Why? Because they had two qualities, faith and patience. And actually, the book of Hebrews talks a lot about endurance and confidence too. Ephesians 6, going back there. Verse 16, and by the way, already right above this, he talked about that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? The powers of darkness. And in verse 13, he says, we have to resist the enemy in the evil day. And then in verse 16, he says, in addition to all, he's talking about the armor of God. So as much as anything, we have to take up the shield of, what does it say? Shield of faith, with which we'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And in Greek, that flaming arrows, sometimes it's called flaming missiles. It's called a lot of different things. But basically, when we start moving into enemy territory, what happens? All of a sudden, the kingdom of darkness is firing these missiles, these arrows at us. It's always happened. It happens today. And it's even happening more because the kingdom of darkness is being threatened. And so, what is it? It's the shield of faith by which we extinguish these arrows. It can be scary if you don't have that shield of faith. Because you see these missiles and darts and arrows flying at you. And of course, back then, what they would do is, like with an arrow, they would put fire at the end of it. And so when it landed, what would it do? Set everything on fire around you. It's scary. But the thing we have to realize is that the kingdom of darkness has no real power over those who are standing in Christ. No real power. Well, what are these missiles then? The missiles, what his power is lies, accusations, suggestions that we're failing, is words of discouragement. Those are the things that happen. And they're very real. And anyone advancing into enemy territory is going to see flaming missiles fly your way. But we've been given a weapon. It's the shield of faith. And as long as we keep that, because how does that work? Satan says, this is ridiculous. You're going to get killed. You know, this is going to happen. And what do? You say, no, God has called me. I'm moving forward. And in the purposes of God, we have to move that way. There is no other choice for us. You know, Satan, the kingdom of darkness, would have us get discouraged, lose heart, and quit. Go home. Don't get so involved in what you're doing. And we have to resist that. The third thing. We must have a love for God and a love for others. A passionate love, that is. See, you can't love others unless you're loving God. And you can't, if you say you're loving God, if you really love God, then you love people too. The two go hand in hand. 1 John talks about, a lot of places talk about that. Loving ourselves is really the spirit of this world. Actually, you even see it in political leaders, you know. They love themselves, I think, more than the people they're supposed to be serving. And that's just not in this country. I think it's every country. We don't have a lot of examples of that. But I can give you one example, and that's Jesus. He did not love his life, and he gave his life for us. And he says, that's the spirit I want you to have. And by the way, that's what makes us different as Christians, is that we do not love our own lives. You know, actually, Jesus said, he told his disciples in John 13, that people will know that we're his disciples by our agape love toward one another. So true agape love is powerful. It breaks down walls. I mean, intellectual walls, cultural walls, religious walls. Phil and Sasha go to Russia, or even just here in this county. Sometimes there's cultural barriers. There's religious barriers. We think, wait a minute, I can't get through. Of course you can. But agape love, coupled with praying in the name of Jesus, will break those walls down. We have to know that. How about fear? Well, agape love, what? Perfect love, it says, cast out all what? Fear. It drives it away. Love doesn't think of itself. It sacrifices itself. It gives itself up for others. It brings light into darkness. Revelation 12, verse 11. We've seen this verse many times before. And they overcame him. Who's the they? The saints of God. Who's the him? Satan, the devil, the accuser of the brethren. Three things it says. How did they overcome them? Because of the blood of the Lamb. They knew who they were in Christ. And because of the word of their testimony, they were bold in faith. And three, they did not love their life even when faced with death. That's how the last days generation is going to defeat the enemy. We need to start learning to do that. Love is powerful. It scatters the enemy. It's love for God and love for others. Now, if we have these qualities, we can begin to pray confidently and see the kingdom of God advance.